Psalm 39. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. And we ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Amen.
Amen.
Have here a psalm of David. As we can read in the title, it's to the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. We don't know why this psalm was written, what time in David's life it was written, but we can see that it is a psalm that was written under or during a time of great heaviness and sorrow. A psalm written in great distress and turmoil. And the first part reads, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I'll keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. And David, we remember, a man of like passions. And I'm sure that these thoughts that David has, we can identify with. Perhaps we've had similar thoughts at times. And David starts off. He says, I will take heed to my ways. David had made that covenant with God to walk aright in the paths of righteousness. And if we're God's children, we have done something similar. But so often we do fall into sin, and we need to stop and take heed to our ways, that we will sin not. And we can sin, as David says, with our tongue so often. And we need to learn to bridle the tongue, as James tells us. Even so, the tongue, as a little member, boasteth great things. And so David, speaking about his tongue and how he has sinned with it, says that he will keep his mouth with a bridle. He will have some control, particularly while the wicked is before him. So often the wicked can prompt us to say things that are sinful, things that are wrong, or perhaps to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. David bridles his tongue, as verse 2 tells us. He was dumb with silence. He held his peace, even from good. There's a time to speak and a time to be silent, a time to speak up and a time to be silent. And he was sorry for his sin, for not speaking that word in season that good word. And so in verse 3 he says, "My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue." And that word musing, it means to be absorbed in thought, to ponder over something, to reflect upon things, to contemplate. And this musing, this contemplation, then caused David to utter the rest of this psalm. Verses 4 to 7, which we'll concentrate on this morning, says, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee." And so often, isn't it, we're so busy, we don't have time to stop and muse, stop and think. But we do need to make time to stop and to ponder over the events of our lives and what is going on, but also to think about them in the light of God's word. What are we doing? What have we said in the last day, in the last week? David did that. As I said, David started off this psalm reminding himself, saying that I will take heed to my ways. He had made that covenant with God, and he was conscious that he had strayed from that pathway. And if we do stop and think about events in our life, what we have done, it should, as Christians, lead us and direct us to the Lord, to the Word of God. Whatever our difficulties, whatever our problems, if we ponder upon them and think about them, we'll end up doing what David did. Because he then says in verse 4, having mused about these things, he says, "Lord, make me to know mine end." He prayed and waited for the Lord. He trusted for the Lord. Verses 7 and 8, he says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish." And then in verse 12 he says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry." David, having taken the opportunity to stop and think and ponder on what was going on in his life, is led to approach the Lord in prayer. And so it is with us. If we do take time to stop and think and reflect on matters, we should eventually be led to the Lord in prayer. That hymn reminds us, isn't it, how many toils and troubles we carry because we don't carry them to the Lord in prayer. David, a man troubled, he eventually leads and goes to the Lord in prayer and seeks the Lord's help. And so David, in some difficulty, he addresses the Lord. And in verse 4 he says, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." And it's quite interesting, isn't it? It's a question that everybody asks. What is the end? Alas, the world, when it asks such a question, is usually blaspheming. But we ask things, how long is the weather, the bad weather, going to last? And what's going to happen in the future? And people will ask scientists about the future, but they don't know. We've seen all the excitement about global warming. Others pretend they know the answer and try and give advice, but they don't know the end. The world approaches the wrong people. We can approach the Lord and ask for the end. The world gives opinions, but the Lord tells us. David knew the only one that could answer that question was the Lord. "Lord, make me to know my end. And it's a request, a prayer that has been answered and clearly revealed to us all. We have the Word of God. And that clearly reveals to us that the end of everyone. It's understood, especially by the believer. As I said, it's a question that people in the world don't want to ask or to seek out the answer. But we have the answer in the Word of God. There's one end for mankind, and that's death. There's the death of the saint, or the death of the sinner. The death is to one of two destinations. For the saint, it's to be with Christ, which is far better. For the saint, it's to be in that pit without Christ, without hope, that place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. David knew that it was right to approach the Lord with that question, because he knew that the Lord was the creator of all things. As we read in Isaiah, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God. As there is none else, I am God. There is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I am God. There's none like him, no one else. He declares the end from the beginning. He is the only one that has revealed himself unto us in the first chapters of Genesis, in the beginning, God. He is the only one that has revealed to us the end. All other religions point and say you can do such and such, and perhaps you'll arrive. But remember, the Lord Jesus Christ has come and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one that has shown us the true way, the true end. The Almighty knows all things, in a contrast with everybody else in this world. They think they know all things, but they don't. And all things are being worked out according to God's counsel and to his pleasure. He is working out his own will. And that's why David says, Lord, make me to know mine end. He knows that only the Lord can answer that question. The natural man will not want to ask such a question, because it will have an influence on his life. If he does stop and think about the end, he will soon try and move away and be distracted, because if he thinks about his end, he has to make a response to the Almighty God. And the direct answer, as I said, we have the answer in the Word of God, but God doesn't give us an exact answer in the number of days that we will live. The Lord, in his wisdom and his goodness, he withholds from men that exact answer. I don't know whether you remember, a few months ago now, it was in the paper. There was that man in Cornwall who was told by the doctors he had 6 months to live. And in his folly, he went out on a spending spree, and 2 years later, he was bankrupt. That is why the Lord in his goodness does not give us a specific time, date, as it were. And then you can see the folly of men, the folly of the cults, and the mayhem caused by these cults when they say the world will end on the 1st of January, whatever date they have chosen. You see the mayhem caused by mass suicides or whatever. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. The Lord will return. We will die at that appointed time. But we know that we will die, and therefore we can be prepared. The Word of God tells us, and the Word of God tells us how to prepare for that day. But it's only the believer that asks the question and takes any notice. David, as I said, that man of like passion, that man of God, asked the question. He knew that Moses had written in Deuteronomy, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Consider their latter end. It's a sign of wisdom, and we're called to be wise. In that prayer of Moses in Psalm 90, we read, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, that we may think about our days and apply ourselves to wisdom, to number our days, to consider what lies ahead, what we have done, and apply ourselves to wisdom." As we read in Psalm 90, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." And as we read in Hebrews, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." The wise will consider their days. They will consider that they're a day of judgment, and so live in the light of it. What does the world say? The world says, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." The wise man knows that he will be judged, and therefore flees to the Lord Jesus Christ. David says, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days." The world, and sometimes we're tempted to, we might say, of an untimely death or a premature death. But David reminds us that our days are measured out. There's no such thing as an accidental death. After all, the Almighty knows when the sparrow dies. The Lord knows all about us and all about the events in our life. Even the hairs of our head are numbered. And so David says, "The measure of my days, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee." The measure of our days, our allotted span, we've already seen that it is appointed unto men once to die. And David acknowledges this. He says in another psalm, "My times are in thy hands." A reminder that our days are given to us by the Lord, and therefore it's our responsibility and how we use them. And God is that creator and sustainer of life. As Job tells us in chapter 12 and verse 10, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and breath of all mankind." And Job 14, "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds, that he cannot pass." And so we remind ourselves that we have these measure of days appointed to us, given to us by the Lord. And if we're wise and take heed to the preacher in Ecclesiastes, we will remember our Creator in the days of our youth. As young men, it is a wise thing to remember our Creator, because then we can apply ourselves, and the days that we have, we can then use wisely and with wisdom. And for the believer, great reassurance in this. Whatever the trial, the tribulation, we can be sure that the Lord knows, because it's the Lord that has measured out the days for us. David, he speaks of days. "Thou hast made my days as a handbreadth." A handbreadth, the smallest measure. Any trial, any affliction, it's but for a season. Our shortness of life should encourage us in whatever situation we find ourselves, in our afflictions. "Our days with the Lord, and mine age is as nothing before thee." The Lord, the one without beginning, and the one without end. Our days are as nothing before him. And David talks about life in days, rather than as perhaps the world likes to think of, in years. We compare our lives with the Almighty, and we realise we live for days, because the Almighty, as I've said, is the one without beginning and without end. As I said, thinking about our life in such measure helps us with whatever suffering. As Paul was able to write, For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul knew that he was going to be with the Lord one day, and that would be for eternity. And so the suffering of the present time was not to be compared with the glory that lay ahead. And again he writes in 2 Corinthians, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." He describes his trials as light affliction because he knows that his days are but a handbreadth. Again, the psalmist writes, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." 70 years, soon cut off, and we fly away. Our life, a matter of days, a handbreadth. And so if we bear in mind, if we know that the Lord has appointed our allotted span, it can help us in our affliction, in our trials, in our temptations. Because our life is short, again, as Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says, "Seeing that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." We know we live allotted span, days. We're called to walk, as Paul says, circumspectly. We're to redeem the time that the Lord has given us. How are we using it? What are we doing? Are we using it for his glory? Or are we wasting the time? Are we spending it on frivolity? Or are we doing those things that the Lord would have us to do? David says, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." When we stop and consider our days, the measure of our days, what our life is, we realise how frail we are. David says he wants to know how many days that he may know how frail I am. The believer acknowledges their weakness, the frailty of life. And if we acknowledge our frailty, our weakness, it will cause us to thank and praise the Lord for sustaining us and keeping us thus far and giving us that measure of health and strength. Not trying to live our lives as if we've got eternity. That's the way the world lives. The world will not contemplate the future. It lives for the here and now. But we know that we will be with the Lord, that our days are appointed. We have that allotted span. David acknowledges that he's frail, frails physically, but also spiritually. And if we realise that we are frail and we're weak, we will trust the Lord more. Because remember, pride goes before a fall. As Paul says, "When I am weak, then I am strong." David wanted to know how frail and weak he was so he could trust the Lord. And David goes on to say, "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them." Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And that word vanity, meaning emptiness, no good thing, a description of mankind. Every man at his best state is altogether empty. Every man. Those famous, those powerful, those rich, those poor, they're altogether vanity, emptiness. And as David says, every man walketh in a vain show. The margin says image. It's a life with no a life with no substance. It's an image, a shadow, no substance, nothing to commend the natural man. As David writes in the Psalms, he says, man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passes away. And so the world, the natural man, will not measure his days. But if we realize that our days are appointed by the Lord, we will then live and redeem the time that he has given them. And David says, surely they're disquieted in vain. Have you ever noticed how people can survive an accident, a car accident, and for a few days perhaps they will acknowledge how they've been preserved and kept, but then in a few weeks' time they're living just as they did before, no acknowledgement to the Almighty for preserving them in that time, no recognition that their life is given to them by the Lord. They're disquieted in vain. Problems don't cause men to consider their end, to consider what is going on. Instead, they heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. What is the world doing at the time? Heaping up riches, not knowing who will gather them. Remember David, so said, he's a man of like passions, a man that has observed life. Remember, he was that shepherd boy tending his father's flocks in the wilderness. He then moved on into the court of Saul. He was then in the wilderness being hunted by Saul. And finally, he became king with his own court. And in that time, he could look round and he could see that men are disquieted in vain, that they accumulate wealth and riches and know not who shall gather them. Observations from life, but confirmed by the word of God. As Christ tells us in that parable, he says unto them, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought with himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast such much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. If we measure our days, if we count our days and consider our end, then we will look to the Lord. We won't be tempted to lay up treasure for ourselves in earth, but we'll be laying up treasure in heaven. We'll be rich to God. And David, having considered his end and men in general, draws this thought, this musing to a close with that question. And now, Lord, what wait I for? David knows his weakness. He's measured his days and he sees that he's frail. He's seen the emptiness of men. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. So I said, we don't know what caused David to muse upon such matters. But the question is asked, and now, Lord, what wait I for? A question that we could ask ourselves, what are we waiting for? We've measured our days. We've acknowledged that we have days to live. Now, Lord, what wait I for? A question each one of us can ask. David's answer, my hope is in thee. Is this our answer? David started by saying, Lord, make me to know my end. And the conclusion that he comes to is, my hope is in thee. As we read in Psalm 118, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. What is our trust? What are we waiting for? Do we trust the Lord? We can trust the Lord because he is the one without beginning or without end. Man has a beginning and man has an end, but the Lord is without beginning or without end, and so we can trust him. We cannot measure the Almighty. We can talk about days. The Almighty is everlasting. So we've seen man is frail. The Lord is all-powerful. He is the maker of heaven and earth. He has created all things and he sustains all things. Man is vain and empty, but with the Lord, no shadows, no images. The Lord is the only permanent thing, the person that changes lot. Monuments of men, riches heaped up by men, rust and decay. The Lord changes not. In God we have life. In men we have death. And so David, having asked that question, Lord, make me to know mine end, says, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. His hope is in the Lord. And so as we contemplate our days, let us ask that question, Lord, what wait I for? And can we say, my hope is in thee? Can we, in the days that the Lord has given us, in the days that are left, are we going to hope in the Lord, trust in the Lord fully, trust in the Lord wholly, for the days that lie ahead? For our days are but a handbreadth. Nothing else will do. Everything else will be vanity and emptiness. My hope is in thee, and I trust that's the answer for each one of us here this morning. Amen.